morning. Welcome to Academy Christian Church. My name is Logan. I'm the Young Adults and Missions Pastor here, and it's an honor to share in God's Word with you today on this 4th of July. Happy birthday, America, right? Yeah, that's awesome. I'd like to start off with a question for you today. When you were growing up, what was your favorite place to play outside? Like, where did you just love to go to get lost for hours and play outside? Maybe a backyard, cul-de-sac, a creek nearby, a mud pit, maybe some, I don't know. You got it? What's coming to mind for you? Where did you love to go when you were a kid to play outside? Anyone want to shout them out? Any of the, what was that? The mountains, yeah. You guys are lucky if you grew up in Colorado. The woods, yeah. Where? My aunt's house, yeah. That's awesome. The lake, yeah. Where else? The beach, yeah. That's awesome. That's another great place to grow. Can I tell you about mine? Yes. It's in Missouri, so there's bugs and humidity, so I know, just shiver in horror, and then we'll move past that. But it's the farm I grew up on with my twin brother and I. We love to play on this hillside forest, just acres and acres of huge mature oak trees. And so, I mean, you couldn't get your arms around them. Just this beautiful native forest in the sun or in the summer. You know, the canopy like darkens out the sun. There's just a green glow underneath as you're walking around. And in the fall, the leaves change, all these beautiful, beautiful colors until they join the bed of leaves on the ground that I would crunch through all winter and make little piles of and jump into. And so my brother and I, we would just go get lost in that forest for hours and hours. Every stick would become a sword or a laser gun or something like, you know, the trees are like spaceships or temples in ancient Rome. Like, we're having battles and I almost caught a squirrel with a pocket knife one time and running him down. And it's like, I'm glad for both of our sakes that that did not happen. But just this magical place to grow up in and to play in. I loved it. And a few years ago, I went back over the holidays, and as I approached the hillside, I found it had been and was being logged. It was like, oh, it's so sad, so much change. The earth, you know, was all tore up from the loaders. There were tree tops laying this way and that, huge stumps sticking out of the ground, or a reminder of what had been. And if my dad's watching this sermon, he'll be like, well, it helped pay for your college, so, you know. I logged it for a reason, but I know it's just a forest, but I was so sad to see all of that change. And so when I go back and pursue those paths of my youth now, it's just brush and thorn trees and weeds, and there's no huge trees, just stumps, reminder of what was. So much has changed, and it always does when you return to your childhood as an adult. It's smaller, less mysterious. It's just a lot of change. And so when I look around the hillside now, two experiences kind of happen at the same time. I'm both really, really grateful for those memories and everything that I got to be a part of there. I'm grateful for the potential, like even though it's kind of brush and thorn trees and thistles, there's also grass and wildflowers poking up and seedlings beginning to grow again. Alongside the gratefulness, though, I'm also grieved, right? It's still sad to see the stumps and think about what was and what isn't right now, and that I don't get to walk around with my nephew or one day with my kids through that same forest. Like, it's both gratefulness and some grief there. And I'll be honest, as we come to 4th of July on a Sunday, I kind of feel the same way about our country. There's a lot of things that I am really, really grateful for about our nation, and that God planted me and us in America, that we're here. And there's also a lot of things that really, like, grieve me. And I think grieve God's heart about our nation. I mean, where it came from, where it is now, and I mean, really where it's headed. There's a lot of change going on. And so it's this kind of weird thing of holding both gratefulness and grief together at the same time. Solomon, you know, writing Ecclesiastes, he says, there's a time for everything. There's a time for a season. There's a season for every activity under the heavens. And in verse 4, he says this, There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And usually when I read that verse, I'm always like, right, and those are different times. But on holidays, often those times are combined. There's just certain holidays where those two things, we got to hold them together at the same time, even though they don't seem to go together. I am both grateful and grieved today about our nation. And so I'd really like to, this is going to be just a more different service than normal. I'd like to spend some time in prayer about that and create some space for us to both be grateful before God about our nation and grieve before God about where we're at and where he's planted us. And so it'll be a little bit more participatory and prayer-filled than normal. I get to hear your voices, which is good. Not just my voice here today. All the introverts are like, I need to use the restroom. I'm an introvert, so it's not too crazy. We're just going to pray and like, okay, so no worries. If you really need to, don't feel bad either. It's like, now everyone's going to be looking at you. But we want to, can we start today with gratefulness? With gratefulness. That God has planted us in this nation on purpose, and there's many great things about it and blessings. We want to start with what is right and what is good. And Paul, he does this all the time. It's not just positive thinking, like it's theology. I start with gratefulness because God is good and I know him. And I mean, Paul, you know what happened in his life. He did not have the best circumstances much of the time. I mean, beaten, shipwrecked, in prison, starving, on trial, betrayed by friends, all whipped. All of these things. And then in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, he says this. At the end of this letter, he's writing from prison to the church at Philippi, who's beginning to suffer like he is. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So Paul points out that his circumstances really have nothing to do with whether he's content in life. It's God's presence and his relationship with Jesus that gives him strength no matter the circumstance. And so that's where we start today. God, I am grateful that you planted me in America. I'm grateful you planted me here to be salt and light. And I use that word planted on purpose. There's a purpose. Like, there's a purpose to what God did. He knows who you are. He knew who you were going to be. And he chose this time and place for you to exist and to be planted and to bear fruit. It's not just a game of chance that you showed up in America. God planted you in this nation on purpose. And so today we want to start with this gratefulness. Could we together come up, what are three reasons you are grateful for where God has planted you? And I'd really love, I know it's easy to put them in your mind and some of you may do that, but I'd really love if you have the notes there or if you have your phone to type some notes into it to actually write down some of these things. What are you grateful to God for about where he has planted you? If you write it down, it'll actually stick. And if you don't, then you may not remember when you walk out. So could you just come up with a few of those? I'll give you a few moments here of quiet. Where are you great? Why are you grateful for where God has planted you? Okay, you have one? Everybody got at least one? Will you turn to someone beside you and just say one of those that's on your list? What are you grateful for about where God has planted you? If you're sitting in the middle of people, you may have to talk to two people. Sorry. One that I came up with is I'm just so grateful that I have access to God's word and truth at any time. That also sometimes makes us take it for granted, but I have God's word in my pocket, whereas for centuries in the faith, people would have to walk miles to go see a copy of God's word or to hear it read out loud to them. I mean, it's incredible the access that we have. Okay, so here's the participation part. What? You mean that wasn't the participation part? I know. Could we take a few moments now and fill this corporate worship space with prayers to God of our gratefulness? So you just shared that with someone, you know, sitting next to you. Could you just turn to those people again and pray one or two of those on your list to God and say, God, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. Next person, God, I'm grateful. And if someone's sitting by themselves, just tap them on the shoulder. So let's all stand up. I'm going to come down from the stage, pray with someone. And then if you're like really long-winded, I may have to cut you off. Just a heads up. It feels weird to be like, stop praying. But so just let's all stand up and find someone to pray with and share what you're grateful about. My group was the long-winded one, so I'm just kidding. We did a monster group. Thank you. It's so good to hear our voices, right? Like, it's good to pray together. Express that to God. So thank you. So one more way to participate together is I'd like to do kind of a responsive prayer where it's on the screen. I'll read the portion that isn't in bold, and then could we together express what is in bold? Just together as an expression of like gratefulness to Jesus. And since we're not very used to this, I would just encourage you to intention it, like mean it, even though you're just saying it with everyone, but mean it. Like we're saying these to God, and so we'll kind of chew on them and go through them slowly. Let's begin. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, how marvelous that you considered and created us, decreeing the time and place each of us would enter the world to live out our part of your story. Thank you, all-knowing God, for planting us where you have. God of creation, we give you thanks for the beauty of the world we've been placed in. Thank you, Creator God, for the beauty we see around us. And Father of goodness, we give you thanks for the blessings we know in our lives. Thank you, good Father, for the goodness we experience in life. And God of mercy, we give you thanks that we have the privilege of worshiping you freely in our nation. Thank you, God, for the gift of freedom. May we steward it well. Yeah. And God of revival, we give you thanks for your work in our lives, in our city, in our nation. Thank you, God, for your unending work to pursue the lost. Would you bring revival to our nation? And this one's a little bit tougher, but God of order, we give you thanks for the authorities placed above us in your church, in our city, in our state, and in our nation. Thank you, God our King, for those in leadership positions. We pray a blessing of discernment and wisdom over them as they make decisions that affect many. May they know and surrender to you, Jesus. And finally, God, please bless America. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as the world changes rapidly, not only are there many reasons to find gratefulness, but there's many reasons to find grief. And to lament and be sad about what we see in our world. And as sin has manifested in new ways and in old ways with new faces. And this is a little bit of a weird one. It's weird in a group setting to hold grief and just to express that to God. One, because we're Westerners and all negative emotions are like, no, that's private. That's only for me, you know. But also because, especially with what grieves us, we're part of that story. Like, we're part of the story of sin and evil that exists in this world. And so it's just a little bit more complicated. But I'd still like to do that today, is to hold some space for us to grieve and lament before God what is wrong. This happened all the time in the ancient world, especially in Jewish culture. They were communal societies, and so they grieved really loud and proud. Like, they were real. They didn't put a happy face on bad situations. I don't know that we're doing that, but sometimes I think because there's so much change and some of it's, you know, a lot of it's negative, we can kind of shut off. We can't see all that. We can't deal with all that. We ignore it or avoid it. And today we just want to say, God, it's there, and it breaks our hearts because it breaks your heart. And we want to share that with you. Matthew 5:4 says this, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn. I don't think we believe that. Blessed are those who mourn. Our consciences are often very seared by the world around us. And there is room and there is a need for us to mourn sin and its consequences that we see all around us and in our own lives as well. It is killing people. And the ills that our society faces, that there'll always be someone trying to convince us that they have a solution. And if it doesn't go to the heart of sin, it's not the solution. We don't need a new leader. We don't need a new economic system. We don't need a new any of that, as much as we need sin to be taken care of in people's lives and their hearts to actually be transformed. And certainly as Christians, we get to become part of the solutions to many of much of what's going on in the world. But first of all, we mourn sin and we open then ourselves up to the need for Jesus. So let's create some space for that. We won't be sharing these publicly or praying together about these, but what are three reasons for you to lament and grieve before God about where he's placed you, about this world that we exist in, where we've been planted? Could you just write three of those down or put them in the notes on your phone? And as you do so, would you pray them to God? God, I'm sad for this reason. I'll give you some space to do that, and then we will close that time with another response prayer. Three that I chose were, God, I'm sad that people don't know you. I'm sad and grieved by how I and sometimes even the church get in the way of people knowing you. That's a big one. It's like, God, help us if that's ever the case. And I'm grieved that truth is denied, because it's going to hurt people. Encourage you, if you haven't finished, to continue that just time of prayer with Jesus, taking those to him. It's way easier to complain about what we see in the world around us. What God invites us to is to share his heart for it, not just to get upset and say, well, can you believe what they're doing? It's like, but to actually share his heart and see the deeper reality and what the true enemy is there. But could we pray together these prayers of grief and lament? You want to pull that up? There we go. O God, who grieves the brokenness of this nation, meet us in our grief today. O Christ, who is the light of life, may your light shine in the darkness. O Spirit, who enters our every grief, intercede now for this people and this broken land. God, you once brooded over the formless chaos of ancient waters and brought forth order and flourishing of creation. Do so again, O Spirit of God, in the chaos around us and in us. From that chaos, call forth new life and flourishing. Jesus, take what Satan means for evil and redeem and resurrect it for good. Redeem us, O Lord. You alone have the strength to carry this people through these changing times. Carry us now, O Lord. You alone have wisdom and power to heal the wounds of our nation. Heal us, O Lord. And finally, you alone have compassion enough to enter our grief and turn it to hope. Be merciful, O Christ. We place our hope in you alone. Amen. Thank you. Well, as you know, this isn't the first time, like this cultural moment that we're in isn't the first time that God's people have undergone significant change, and the frustration and confusion and even gratefulness and grief that it caused. Jeremiah in the Old Testament compiled this entire book called Lamentations, which is him recording these songs of grief after, do you remember when he's recording that? After the temple is destroyed, after the nation's been carried off into Babylon, the nation, I mean, it's gone. Nothing's there. So all of their cultural institute, everything that matters for the people of God at that time is gone. And they're asking these questions, like, what, who is God now? What does it mean to worship God in Babylon without a temple? Jeremiah, he actually compiled the book of Jeremiah. This is kind of weird. It's a bit confusing. But so he gave the prophecies, you know, as Babylon is approaching, he's saying, hey, you guys, we need to change, repent. And so he gives all of these prophecies and words from God, but he doesn't write them down yet, or at least not in a book form. That's the first audience. The audience for the book of Jeremiah were the exiles in Babylon. He writes it to send to Babylon. And so he's recording all of his words from years earlier when he's trying to encourage people to change and repent, and then also some additional ones from God that they need to hear because they're in exile. And this is what he says to them in exile in Jeremiah 29. And I think it just does a really good job at answering this question. Do these changing circumstances all around me change who God is, or does it change me? It's kind of what the nation is asking. Here's what he says. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Okay, that's a little weird. I wasn't expecting that. It's like, stir up trouble and cause problems. Nope. That's not what he says. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Don't decrease. They just destroyed the temple. Look what he says. Also seek the peace and the shalom. That's the word there, shalom. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Don't listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. That's kind of funny. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I haven't sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And then this verse you've probably heard before. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. In the midst of everything being destroyed, so much change, Jeremiah's clear answer to the people is this. God hasn't changed. Your circumstances, this world, and all the change that is happening, it hasn't changed God. He says, people of God, your circumstances do not change God. They are an opportunity for him to change you. Exile was part of God's plan for his people. That is weird. And so as I think about our nation and the conversations we often have in Christian circles about our nation, you know, I wish this was different. I wish we had a different leader or a different method or whatever it is. God changed that over there. God helped them over there see this. I think it's probably time that we just always start with, God, change me through all the changes I see around me, because you care more about my character than fixing my circumstances. Help me simply be like Jesus for the flourishing of the city and nation you planted me in. Now, as we close, we need to wrap up here. I want to just give you four words to live by for exiles as we journey in this temporary home called America, where we honestly are grateful for so many things and grieved by so many things. As an exile, we need to hear, one, God prioritizes character over circumstance. If we get so caught up in what's going on around us and not in what God's doing in us, our priorities are in the wrong place. He wants people to have a good life, and the only people who have a good life are people who are happy regardless of the circumstances because they know who Jesus is. Secondly, God invites us to bring shalom where he has planted us. Those things that cause us grief, he's invited us to bring shalom, peace, prosperity, wholeness, where everything fits. He invites us to be beacons of shalom in those areas that break God's heart. Third, word for an exile. We just need to remember God's plan stretches beyond your life. Isn't it crazy? The people Jeremiah wrote this to, 70 years, they're going to be dead. They're never making it back to Jerusalem. And he says, you plant seeds for a forest you'll never see. His plan's bigger than us. And it's bigger than this cultural moment. And God has a plan. And it stretches long. Keep planting. Keep obeying. Raise those seedlings. And finally, God's plan to give us prosperity, hope, and a future is Jesus. Nothing else. All the Old Testament, all of those prophecies, the temple, the land, the sacrificial system, the law, and the prophets, they all point to Jesus. And our world needs Jesus. And we need Jesus more than anything else. Prosperity, hope, and future do not look like a different economic system, different governing system, a different voting system, whatever it is, different leader, whatever it is, it looks like Jesus. So much has changed today, and as I look at just where we're at, I'm honest. I know this may feel like a bummer sermon, I don't know, but honestly, I'm really grateful for America. And I am also, and at the same time, and in all the tension that develops, I am really grieved by America. But I live with hope because in all the changes, God hasn't changed, and his plan for you has not either. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we ask that you would bless our nation. Would you help us to be the answer to that prayer, God? Would you bring blessing through us, through your church? Would you help us to love people well? Would you help us to be beacons of truth and love and grace in this world? Lord, help us to set aside comfort and prioritize you. We love you so much, and we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.